Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Steve Hartman.
I didn't do anything. Basically, are you high? No.
Mike Costa.
I don't want to be the one to tell you so, but I'll tell you so.
It's Loose Cannons time.
Hour number two. The Loose Cannons on Extra 1360 Fox Sports San Diego and 103.3 FM. Tomorrow and Friday, we got Sweet 16 action here. Home of the Madness. Starting at 4 o'clock each day. So remember, there's four games tomorrow, four on Friday, two on Saturday, two on Sunday. All the action right here on your home of the tournament. Okay? Now, that means we have shortened shows the next 2 days.
We do.
So tomorrow, we're going to be in studio 3 to 4.
Yes.
Lead into the games. Then we're going to head on over to Claim Jumper.
To Gorge.
In La Mesa. Ernie can't be there because Ernie has a jury duty. Is that right, Ernie? Jury duty tomorrow? Is that your situation?
What happened is I called to change it to the Vista Courthouse.
Yeah.
Which was all fine and dandy because I didn't want to drive to San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, fine, you're going to have to reschedule because they don't have jury opening on Thursdays in Vista.
Mm.
So what does that mean?
So that means you're going to be
eating with you guys.
Oh, you're going to be there. Oh, wow.
Wow.
Wow. Well, I'm just glad you told me now because, you know, we had a table for four. You know, Orenberger's joining us.
Oh, yeah.
Now
they're
going to
add another chair. Can they do that?
Yeah. We might have an extra glass of water for you or something like that.
I think you're the only person in history to ever go, hey, I really want to do jury duty. Can we reschedule it?
I know.
Just let me know what day you want me here.
He's been
here.
Putting this off since like 1980. So it's been a while.
Since August of last.
All right. Well, that's good, Ernie. So we're all going to be over there tomorrow. La Mesa, Claim Jumper. And then we'll be on location Friday as well. We'll give you an update on that coming up shortly. Also, a reminder to everybody out there, there is still time for you to get in the running for those tickets to join Costa Saturday at Staples in that suite.
What up?
For the regional final championship game. Get to sportssd.com, enter. You see the contest there. And again, we're going to have another name announced at 5:15. So if you already have entered, be listening at 5:15. I mean, how much easier can it be?
We can lead you to water. Can't force you to drink, kids. Come on. Come on. You got to do a little work here.
It's so simple. Yes. Okay. I signed up. I want to win. Okay. Then you have to listen at 5:15 because if we call your name, you have 5 minutes to call in. Simple as that, and you win. All right. Doesn't get any easier than that.
Shooting fish in a barrel.
All right. It's that time.
Four and four.
Four and four.
Four top stories of the day.
Four and four.
Ernie Martinez, he's
four.
He's always laughing.
Four
at four is brought to you by Sombrero Mexican Food, serving the freshest San Diego style Mexican food.
That's right. For a limited time, Baja style tacos, grilled shrimp, crispy calamari, classic fish tacos, and also just in time for the round of 16, check out the Sombrero Top 16 Burrito Bracket. Follow them on Facebook and Instagram. Make your picks for a chance to win Sombrero gift cards during each round.
Let's get it started.
Number four.
Nothing for you.
And I said, no, 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 no more. Well, I said, no, 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 I can't take it.
That's what happens when you play the record player and just sort of skip. No Wahoo for Tomy.
No.
Yeah, Cooperstown has stepped forward and made an announcement as it pertains to the Cleveland Indians' soon-to-be-extinct mascot.
Well, here's the deal. So Jim Tomy is going into the Hall of Fame as an Indian, and he has worn Chief Wahoo on his cap throughout most of his career as an Indian, and they made it clear you will not have the Wahoo, you'll have a C. So I was curious about this because there are 14 players in the Baseball Hall of Fame that went in as Cleveland Indians.
Okay.
And only one of them actually has a Wahoo on the cap.
Who?
And it's not even a full Wahoo. That would be Early Win, who pitched with the Indians, also with the White Sox. But he went in as a Cleveland Indian. All the other Indians have the C. Bob Feller, C. Bob Lemon, C. All these guys have Cs.
Larry Doby,
C.
Okay.
So,
right.
But what Early Wins cap has is a C, but inset is a tiny Chief Wahoo.
Mm.
Now, they're not going to erase that from his cap. Because I was thinking, wow, if you eliminate, there must be a lot of guys with Wahoo.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you look at the Early Win Hall of Fame plaque, you'd have to really look carefully to realize, oh, that's right. There's a little tiny Chief Wahoo. It's not like the big Wahoo like they have now. So I don't know how significant this really was, but he will go in with a C on his cap like all the Indians did. Feller and Larry Doby, Bob Lemon, all those guys. So I don't understand this, though. Even though they're going to be taken away from the cap, they're going to still market them.
Of course they are.
They're still going to market merchandise with Chief Wahoo all over the place, which is bizarre. I mean, yeah, they're not getting rid of Chief Wahoo. They're just taking him off the cap. Are they going to have it on the jersey as well? I think it's still going to be on the jersey.
The Wahoo?
They're just taking off the cap.
No, I think they're going to get rid of it.
I think it's off of everything.
Yeah.
Unless you're a fan.
But
if you're a fan, you can buy
merchandise.
It.
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
So you could still have like 30,000 Indian fans wearing Chief Wahoo caps that they bought at the store, but the players won't be wearing them. I don't know.
You know, the team gets to take that PC stand. But the almighty
have their cake and
is much
make you
more
buy
important.
It too.
Is that a cap you would wear, Ernie? How about it? A Chief Wahoo cap.
I have a Chief Wahoo
cap. You have a Chief Wahoo cap.
Yeah. I wear it to all my clan meetings. They love it.
Wow.
No, I don't. Of course, I don't wear it.
Wow.
I remember my little brother, Pete.
You put the hood aside and you go with a Chief Wahoo.
I do. Well, when it gets hot. My brother, Pete, had a Atlanta Braves, Screaming Braves
t-shirt. Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
It's like,
as a kid. We had no connection to Atlanta or the Braves baseball team. It's just something my mom picked up. I remember him wearing that.
Well, so your mom had no problem with that.
No. Shit. Nebraska. That's all I'm going to say.
We move on.
Number three.
That's whack, Jack.
Yeah, LeBron James isn't too up with this proposed reseeding as far as the playoffs are concerned.
I'm with him. This thing makes no sense. So if you haven't heard, the NBA apparently is going to pass this idea of getting more teams an opportunity to make the playoffs. So let's review this again. So when the regular season ends, in each conference, there's going to be the 7th seed is going to play the 8th seed in a one-game playoff on the home of the 7th seed.
Okay.
The winner of that game gets the 7th seed. So while that game is going on, the 9th seed and the 10th seed will play a game. And then the winner of that game will play against the loser of the 7-8 game to determine the 8th seed.
You know what?
And the idea of this was it'll keep more teams involved late in the season. I think they're trying to, get away from tanking. Right now, the 9 and 10 seeds in the Eastern Conference are 7 games behind the 8th seed. So they're not even in it anyway. It's a little bit tighter in the but here, literally, when you said that's whack, Jack, that's the word that LeBron said about the idea. That's whack. That's whack.
He said there should be no consolation for finishing last.
Exactly. And he's pointing. He goes, what are we even talking about? How many 7 or 8 seeds win their first round of the playoffs against the 1 and 2 seeds? How often does that happen?
Not about often. As often as a 16 beating to 1 in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, just a little more. So you got a bunch of teams battling for 2 playoff spots in which they're going to go down in the first round of the playoffs anyway. So
no.
LeBron James is basically telling the NBA, because usually he's in lockstep, you know, with Adam Silver. But
yeah.
As far as this is concerned, he said, nah, that's whack.
This is like the end of my fantasy football season every year when all the teams that didn't make it, and they're like, you know, we should have like 8 teams in the playoffs.
Right.
It's like, dude, there's course. Only 10 teams in the league. Oh, that don't matter.
Well, that's why they give trophies for 1st through 8.
Yeah. Here's what I got for you. It's called the lottery, okay?
Number 2.
How to make a bad situation worse.
Just when you think that the NFL Rules Committee has pulled their collective heads out of their collective you-know-whats, they just completely span us all over it.
All right, so we had talked about this in the week. Thank you. By the way, I got someone here talking about a spring league team.
Yeah.
The mascot for the new team is a Spanos head covered in Spanos. Okay, there you
go.
Whoa. How about that?
That That'd is be a good commitment mascot. To Spanos.
All right, so the week leading up to the Super Bowl, Commissioner Goodell was making a big deal about the catch rule.
Yes.
That, you know, it wasn't working. Fans want to see catches. And then we saw 2 controversial calls.
Bingo.
Go in the Eagles' favor. Plays that might not have been ruled a catch in the regular season were ruled a catch. So this was all good news. We're like, yes, he got to eliminate because it was a bad rule, and let's just go back to the way it was. Well, they sort of did, but then they didn't. So now, basically, it comes down to the usual. So do you have possession? And are you in bounds? Those are the 2 things.
Right.
What happens after that? If you got the 2 feet down, let's on out of bounds play, or even if you're crossing the goal line, you've got possession. You got the feet in, either cross the goal line, you go out of bounds. It's a catch. What happens after that shouldn't even matter, right? Well, now they have what they're going a 3rd thing. It's called a football move.
Okay. This again?
So this is one of those things where. Like Dez Bryant, when he had that incredible catch where he extended
against
and then
Green
tried
Bay.
To extend. Remember in the playoff game and the ball came loose? That would allow for that play to be ruled a touchdown. Or the Jesse James play where he was at the goal line and then he reached across and lost control of the ball. That would be a touchdown. The problem is now you're going to leave it up to the officials to define what a football move is. And Blandino is saying, well, a football move is something you would normally see.
Oh, okay.
Well, that really narrows it down. This is another gray area. I can see this already. Like some guy's going to extend, loses the ball, and they call a fumble. Like, whoa, 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 whoa. I thought the rule. Yeah, but that really didn't look like a football move. What?
You're adding another factor that's going to convolute the play or the vision that a referee thought he's all you are doing is you're going to start sending these guys to the instant replay hood more. If you're going to have, well, the football move, catch, possession, feed in, and anything after going to the ground, the ball move, screw that.
Yes, that's my whole point. It doesn't matter. Again, go back to Butch Johnson and his catch in Super Bowl XII, which nowadays would not even be a touchdown.
No way.
So if you haven't seen, it was one of the greatest catches in Super Bowl history. He's fully extended, and he catches the ball as he's flying over the goal line. But the second he hit the ground, the ball popped up immediately.
Right.
Now, under today's rules, that would be no catch. But in those days, touchdown, because he had control of the ball
crossing the plane
as he was flying over the goal line.
Now, was the initial rule for a touchdown was the ball must cross the plane?
As long as you had possession of the ball.
Yeah.
Same thing with a sideline play. You got possession. 2 hands in, 2 feet in, cross the line. What happens after that is immaterial.
As soon as you pierce the invisible veil of the goal line that goes a million miles up into the air, and you have possession of it could be 1 hand, it could be 2.
Okay,
let's touchdown.
Let's go for like this, because we've seen this play before. All right, so you got a long pass toward the goal line, and the receiver catches it, His momentum is carrying him toward the sideline, but he reaches out one hand to try to hit the pylon.
Right. Yeah.
But then he loses control of the ball.
Right. Well, that was the play this year with Austin Seferian Jenkins in the Jets game.
There you go.
Rolled out of the end zone.
Touchback.
Yeah.
That's a rule that needs to be changed.
No, that should have been a touchdown.
It should have been a touchdown.
Right. Because if he's got control of the ball in his hand.
Yeah.
And it hits the pylon, what happens after that means is nothing.
Same with the Raiders Cowboys game this year.
Exactly.
When they got burned on that that ruling.
That seems to be the foundation of football scoring. Why would they ever want to change that? Why did they
I agree with you. What's more exciting than seeing this insane athleticism that lets you contort your body so somehow you can reach out and, you know, like hit the pylon?
But they over MacGyvered it because they had the cameras they have in the game now.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, okay, well, let's try to take the officials out of it. Let instant replay tell the story.
Slow motion is best for golf and leave it at that.
Okay.
Slow motion in golf?
Well, when they show the iron hitting the wood. Are the ball?
Mm.
Other than
Minolta swing camera with Peter Costas.
When they slow things down much, it's cool in some ways for some sports. But when they start doing it with football,
slow motion and bowling to see that spin.
As you can see, we're into our eighth minute of the replay. The ball is still coming down the lane.
I like to see the slow mo when they're wiping the bowling ball.
Like when they're eating the French fries,
downing another brewski. Uh-huh.
Number one.
I like it.
Wow. Poetic, you wordsmith. Yeah, the news coming out of Carolina today about San Diego's future NFL franchise is not good.
Well, here we don't know yet.
Or is it?
All right, here's what's happening. So they got the bidding going on for the Carolina Panthers, and reports are the bidding has now reached $2.5 billion, which will make it the biggest purchase price ever for a professional team, and it may rise even further. But one group that dropped out was Michael Rubin. He's the guy that is the owner of Fanatics.
Fanatics, right.
And he headed up a group that included Diddy, Steph Curry, and yes, our own Joe Tsai. But remember this, Joe Tsai's worth is 3.5 times greater than Michael Rubin's. It could be that they may switch seats in the bidding. Because the bidding has gotten to a level now where Rubin's like, all right, too rich for my taste. Joe Tsai's like, I don't know, we can keep going a little bit further here.
Oh my God, let's make it $3
billion. So obviously, if Tsai's out, then that's not good news because we're still holding out hope that maybe Joe Tsai. But to me, this actually could work out well because if Tsai's the lead guy,
yes,
then he can dictate
where they
if
go.
He buys that team exactly where they go.
Now, the third richest man in Canada,
yes,
is apparently still interested in bidding on the team, but I don't even know who the guy is.
Kenyatta, yes.
Kenyatta. Exactly.
Kenyatta.
Big syrup producer.
There actually are still a number of people in the bidding. That's how, think about that. I mean, we're at the bid's at $2.5 billion.
Well, Forbes had him worth $2.3.
Right. This shows you, I mean, when you're talking about value of an NFL franchise, these billionaires are like, that's a good investment.
Now, when it comes to a potential, let's say this all fell in place and relocation was to start the talk there in Carolina. Do we feel bad for Panther fans?
No, sorry.
They should never have had a team in the first place.
Exactly.
The year they gave both Carolina and Jacksonville an NFL team.
Screw you, Ron Rivera.
Are you kidding me?
We don't care.
He comes back to San Diego.
That'd be awesome.
There you go.
And I'd support him. Mm. Yeah, I'm not. You know what? After what I've seen, the loyal San Diego Charger fans, the grief they've gone through, you'd think I'd have a space in my heart for the Panther fan? I don't.
No.
Misery loves company.
Pretty much.
Cam Newton coming.
The San Diego Panthers.
Sandy, am I? You got to redo that name.
But they do have that powder blue in their uniform scheme. Hello.
Yeah.
So it's sort of bad news because Sy's group apparently is out, but that doesn't mean Sy's out.
No.
It just means that the guy, Michael Rubin, has said it's a little too rich for my taste.
Is Fanatics like the apparel, sports apparel site?
Yes,
is that what,
that's okay.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
That thing
that's
he
his?
Has up. Yeah.
All right.
That's not Alibaba.
No. Josiah's up. Yeah, he's online.
Yeah. And his, now, oh, has his worth gone up to $11 billion now? So, you know, Joe, why does Josiah need any of these people? Just pay the $2.5 billion out of your own pocket. Spend another billion to build a new stadium wherever you choose in San Diego. Then you own it all.
God.
Don't have to share anything, and you still got, what, $7.5 billion in the bank?
How, you know, they we talk in terms of these billionaires are so smart,
mm-hmm.
but they're really dumb.
Don't say that.
No, I hope you're listening, Josiah. It's as plain as the nose on your face,
let's
sir.
Say this. Let's say
just
you,
buy it.
Let's say you had $10 billion.
Yeah.
You're liquid $10 billion, and you say you can get a team for $2.5 billion and another billion to build a stadium, and you own everything. Is that a good deal?
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, you would still have $6.5 billion in your bank account.
And it, whatever the interest rate is or the account that money's in, well, you're going to make it back in when?
I mean, Gates, you know, Bill Gates gives away tens of billions of dollars, and his net worth never goes down.
No.
He's like $90 billion. I mean, he keeps giving away money, and it just...
I would be the greatest billionaire on earth. Mm. I really would. I'd be the greatest.
You are, probably.
Yeah.
That's true.
All right. Get your thoughts out there. We're asking throughout the show today, spring football, minor league spring football.
Santa
is that
Lightning.
Something excite? Does that excite you? Crickets. 570-1360 at Ken Hartman at Casa 1360. Text us 70470.
All right, there's 12 games left for the Lakers in 2018. And what does this coaching staff need to see as far as next year's team is concerned in these final games? Our insider, Alan Sliwa, he's going to tell us next.
Tomorrow morning on Hardwick and Richards, how does Sam Darnold's pro day stack up to Josh Rosen? Sam Farmer, LA Times, was at both of them. He joins us tomorrow at 8:05. We get started at 6 a.m. on Extra 1360 and FM 103.3.
Hey, make sure you come by and join us Friday for a round of 16 viewing party at Brewski Burgers and Brew. It's 9844 Hibbert Street in Scripps Ranch. We're going to have some great giveaways and settle in to watch the round of 16 beginning at 3 p.m.
The improbable run of the Aztecs all the way to the NCAA tournament, a lot of people are trying to take credit for it. This guy is no exception. In fact, he's claiming sole credit for it by appearing at that last regular season game.
Snuck in.
Nevada. He, of course, is your host of Laker Talk, and he is a proud Aztec alum. Alan Sliwa is back with the Cannons. Alan, congratulations again on getting the Aztecs to the NCAA tournament.
That was a heartbreaker, Steve. Man, that was a tough one to swallow.
Would Houston? So Houston avoids. Trey Kell had a clear look on that shot. Granted, it would have been a miracle, but he had a clear look at the three. He had a better look than the Michigan kid had when he made the three to beat Houston.
Honestly, what was so frustrating is just defensively, you can't allow one guy to take over. Let anybody else shoot. One guy scores 38 points or 39 points, whatever it was. That one hurt. That one stung. I mean, it was great what the Aztecs did to eventually get into the tournament, but it just shows once you're in, you can hang with any of these teams.
Sure. Alan, 12 games left. What, as far as guys in the audition process for what maybe 20, you know, next year's team is going to look like? What are coaches looking for these last 12?
Well, I think actually, you know, it's this doesn't happen too often where you have a team that's not in playoff contention and they also don't have a lottery pick. Lakers will have a pick. They'll have the Cavs pick. That would be, you know, probably a late first rounder or so. For the Lakers, I think you're literally still playing these final 12 games as if you're fighting for a playoff spot, because you've had such a good season this year, and there's a lot of positives that you could talk about. You finally feel like the Lakers are building on something. You finally feel like there's a foundation that the Lakers can take in the next season and take into the offseason. That really, more than anything else, I think the Lakers are just trying to show the rest of the NBA that this is not the same old Lakers that it has been over the last 4 or 5 years, and that hopefully, as they play teams like the Utah Jazz, the San Antonio Spurs, the Los Angeles Clippers, teams that are jockeying still for a playoff spot, that Lakers are impacting what happens in the playoffs, and teams remember that, or at least, you know, specific players remember that. And I think that's what these final 12 games means for the Lakers.
Let's talk Lonzo Ball. I mean, when we started the season, that's all people were talking about is Lonzo Ball. We weren't talking about Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah.
We weren't talking about anything other than Lonzo Ball. Let me give you an update on his numbers right now. He is shooting for the season 35.7%, and he has been ghastly over the last five games. 3-point percentage at 31.5. How about that 46% free throw percentage? He is the worst shooter in this league, bar none. So my question to you is, how much does he have to improve to justify those assist and rebound numbers that he's putting up? I mean, at some point, doesn't he have to show that he can be at least competent as an NBA shooter?
Yeah, he's going to need to, Steve. I mean, here's the reality. There's a lot of players that coming out of their rookie season, you know, they'll go into the summer and they'll have specific things that they're going to work on. I'm sure Lakers worked on Julius Randle's footwork or Brandon Ingram being more aggressive to get into the basket, whatever the case is. And between your rookie year and your sophomore year, that's a key stretch to work on those things that, you know, obviously are not working for you right now. Lonzo, there is, as much as I love his game, as much as I love his basketball IQ, because I think he's one of the, you know, smartest players at that age in the league right now, his deficiency on the offensive end will hurt him, and it will hurt the Lakers. And whether that's him jacking up threes and shooting at a poor percentage, the free throw percentage is what concerns me the most. To have a point guard shooting below 50%, that says a lot of things. And there's a lot of his game that is good. But that portion of it, I hope in the summer that they do have somebody, some type of a shooting coach that is tweaking things, is working with him to just get more comfortable, because he's got really no touch around the basket. I think he's not as aggressive. As much as people say they want to see him be more aggressive and get to the basket, I think he's thinking in the back of his mind, if I get to the free throw line, I'm not going to hit the free throw. So it's certainly affecting his game. And, you know, from a Laker perspective and even from his individual performance, if he's just more respected out on the perimeter, I think that will help a lot of different areas of his game as well. So this summer will be important for him.
Alan, Luke Walton is not on any sort of hot seat, is he?
No, not at all. I think, you know, the only scenario that I could see that maybe Coach Luke Walton, there's questions around him, is if this summer, in order to get LeBron and Paul George and LeBron's picking his coach. That's the only scenario that I can see. But the reality is a team as young as the Lakers, and really they're the first team behind all those playoff teams, those top 10 teams that are fighting for a playoff spot. I really, really don't think that Coach Luke Walton's got anything to worry about.
You know, a little overlooked this year, Alan, is the fact that Luol Deng has set an NBA record for most games DMP coach's decision. The fact that he sits on that bench, has only played the first game of the year, are we going to see this for two more years? I mean, what exactly is their plan? And by the way, why isn't he playing? I mean, you're paying him $18 million. What harm is there to put Deng in a game?
It's a fair question, by the way. And you know, Luol Deng, there was a Plaschke, Bill Plaschke of the LA Times had a good article just talking about how Luol Deng, what he does during games, he literally will run on a treadmill while the games are going on. And when it goes to timeout, then he'll stop. And like, he literally is following exactly what's going on in the game. He's doing all this in the locker room. The reason why they're not using Luol Deng in any capacity is strictly because They don't see him as any part of the plan, obviously, and they want to play the young kids. Now, whether somebody agrees with that or not, I have a feeling that's coming more from the front office than anywhere else, but that's allowing them to play some of their, whether it's the young kids, the rookies, or even guys they're bringing up like Travis Ware from the G League. So that's part of the reason. The plan for the final 2 years, I think it all just depends what happens. If they need to stretch his contract over 5 years, which is an option that they have based upon signing a big-time player, I think they'll do that. I also think his contract becomes a lot easier to swallow in the final 2 years than the first 2 years, or the, you know, first 2 years of a four-year contract. So I think that the worst will be behind us with Luol Deng after this season is over. Whether he's a part of a deal or something like that, we'll just have to wait and see. But I would not be surprised if the Lakers, if they need that cap space to stretch him over 5 years.
Yeah, I want to see Deng out there. I'm just kidding. All right, Alan, always a great time. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks, fellas. All right.
That is Alan Sliwa. He is host of Laker Talk. All right. By popular demand, since we have abbreviated shows over the next couple of days, we have a special treat. Padres plus three. It's coming up next.
Tomorrow morning on Hardwick and Richards, it's time that we hit the reset button on our NCAA brackets. We're going to take it from the 16 down to the national champ. And Sam Farmer, LA Times, joins us to tell us about Sam Darnold's pro day at USC. That's at 8:05. We get started at 6 a.m. at Extra 1360 and FM 103.3.
Hey, get in for the Cannon Shot of the Day today, because the winner will take home a $30 gift card to Sombrero. Yes. Call us, 570-1360. Follow us on Twitter, at Cannon Hartman at Costa 1360. Text us at 70470. That $30 gift card at Sombrero Mexican Food is going to go long way for you.
Eat for a week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's that time.
We committed 24 errors. Their pitcher threw a no-hitter against us. But there is some good news.
One, two, three. One, two, three.
It's time for Padres Plus Three. The top three highlights from your San Diego Padres. Roll tape.
Rock on, Padre Nation, to a whole new generation. Come to the park, young and old, to be part of the story told about the San
Well, we said through spring training we would do it every Friday, but with the shortened show on Friday, we had to move it up to today.
Of course, bro.
Of course, once we get to the start of the season, that'll be Monday through Friday at 3:45.
Love it.
Padres plus three. So Ernie likes to put this together, and I like what you're doing today, Ernie. So you're going to give us what you feel are the three top performers so far this spring.
Yep.
For the Padres.
All right.
All right, so let's get it started.
Strike one!
Tyson Ross, in Andy Green's words, has had a really good spring. The velocity has returned. The slider is there. 3-2 slider on the inside corner. Strike three called. Kershaw waits, swings, and misses strike three. The 0-2 pitch is taken on the inside corner. Strike three. Back-to-back strikeouts for Ross, who has now retired 9 in a row.
Tyson Ross, pretty good. He's pitched in 5 games, 4 starts, ERA at a level 3. This is a guy last year, Costa, with the Rangers, what, about 7.7 ERA, looked like he was toast. Now, is he gonna be in the rotation, Ernie? What do you think? I mean, they don't have him projected in the rotation.
He's making a strong run right now, I tell you that. He continues to do what he's doing. He's going to make it tough. He will, you know, I think he could crack the rotation. If not, he will be that first guy that Andy Green may feel like he could go to if one of the other five don't play up the bill.
I mean, the Mitchell guy, I'm not sold on this Mitchell guy.
Well, see, when they brought in Mitchell, I know they want to make him a starter, but he just sort of seems like he's the guy out of the bullpen. That's where he might best be used.
Right.
So,
all right. So, Tyson Ross is your number three. We move on.
Great spring battling for the second base job with Cornspan Jamerg and
Perella as well, a 344 average for him, and he sends this one to deep left field, back at the wall, and that ball is gone. Suave with an opposite field shot and continues on this torrid pace. And a liner towards right center field for Suave. That's going to get down. A gapper to the track of the wall. Torrens will score. Suave with his third hit of the day drives in another run.
Damn. Suave leads the team with 13 runs batted in the spring, hitting a cool 362.
Yeah.
MVP.
Now that's here Cobb-like. We go. That's Cobb-like. Is he going to be? I mean, that's higher than Rogers Hornsby.
Yeah, really.
He hit 358 in his career.
Well, when you think of those two Hall-of-Famers, you immediately think of Suave. So.
Suave, I right see in between Cobb and Hornsby.
Now, there's a guy who's trying to crack that starting lineup with the Padres.
What are you going
to
do with a Suave?
Got to keep him if he's going to be there.
Well, I know you keep him, but how are you going to put him in the everyday lineup?
If he hits like this, yeah, once the season, it's going to be tough to keep him out.
All right, so Suave.
He's got a little power, too. I mean, that's where you you don't want that to get to his head. I was talking to Tony Gwynn Jr. about him when Tony hosted few weeks ago, and he says he thinks that Suave could be a really good hitter as long as he doesn't feel he needs to hit a home run every time he goes to the plate.
All right, so he's hitting 362, leads the team in RBIs. There's somebody better.
Strike three, you're out.
Lanza ya, Pirela la prende, línea por el izquierdo, va con todo, la va a sacar, se va, se va, se fue, a la calle, y la fuerza de los padres, Pirela, Pirela, ra, ra, ra.
Oh, you gotta keep that.
Courtesies.
Oh, my. I can just see Brent's head spinning like, oh, I could do so much with that.
Eduardo Ortega.
Oh, is, is that Eduardo's call?
Oh, yeah.
Wait a second. Wait a second. I got to hear that
That's
one more
fantastic.
Time. One more time. I got to hear that one more
God.
Time.
Oh, my
God. Lanza ya. Pirela la prende. Línea por izquierdo. Va con todo. La va a sacar. Se va. Se va. Se fue. A la calle. Y la fuerza de los padres. Pirela. Pirela. Ra, ra, ra.
Oh, my. That is phenomenal.
There's one guy who will be in the broadcaster's wing of the Hall of Fame someday.
That is, you know, Jaime Harin has been one of my all-time favorite people.
Yeah.
He got in the Hall. That is phenomenal. Oh. So how is Pirela doing right now, Ernie?
452 clip.
Wow. Cool.
Yep. God, man.
452. Oh. There hasn't been a 452 hitter in baseball since ever.
Forever. Oh, my God. We have the next Ty Cobb and the greatest player potentially ever.
So, in
ever.
Other words, we may have the greatest second baseman in the history of the game, is what you're saying.
Exactly. And then Jose Pirela could be the best utility player all time ever.
Wow.
You just find a position for him wherever he fits in that night. Roll the dice, put him in left, put him at second, put him at short, put him at third.
So, what do Suave and Pirela have in common?
They're both from Venezuela.
Venezuelan condition.
Names are super fun to say.
Yes. Pirela. Great names. I mean, Suave is just a phenomenal name.
Is Chase Headley from Venezuela?
Pirela.
He's not.
Get him the hell out of here then.
Last time I checked, but I could be wrong.
Every time he hits a home run this year, we're going to do that.
Oh, that is perfect.
Hey, somebody just texted in, 70470, and they asked, will Hell's Bells Forever ever be added to the Padres Plus 3 intro?
It's still spring training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay,
no, no, no.
Easy. Whoa, Brent came in a little hot there, Brent. A little attitude. Easy. Easy. Right.
Can we get a little Hell's Bells, a little Ernie there just to give a little?
Hell's Bells Forever!
Okay. Yes.
All right.
We will have a brand new opening
by Thursday
for the opening of the season.
Yeah, next week.
Yeah, next week.
God, it's next Thursday?
Yeah. 8 days away. Yep.
Eight days away from opening day.
Son of a B.
Okay. So that'll be all incorporated once we
you need to find me next weekend. You'll know where I'll be.
So that will be our next edition of Padres Plus 3.
And people are asking if you guys are going to be at the ballpark at Park of the Park like you were last year at some point.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. If we are, we're usually the last to know. Okay.
And maybe we
but
should,
I'm sure at some point. Yes.
Maybe we should make us some t-shirts for our Cannons Tuesday night.
And I need to throw just this little, just drop this right here before we go to break.
Yeah.
Somebody might be tossing out the first pitch, I don't know, sometime in May. Hello.
Oh, wow.
Oh, thanks for the reaction, guys. Appreciate it. Yeah, screw you guys.
Wow. Oh, who is it?
I was trying to figure out what I'm wearing.
Who are you talking about?
I'm thinking of what I'm going to wear that night.
All right, let's qualify someone right now for the cannon shot of the day.
I swear
to God. A drum roll, please.
Nice reaction.
This out. Cannon shot came from?
The text line, and it says, new football team name, San Diego Screw the Chargers. The mascot is a Spanos head covered in Spanos. We don't know if it's good news or bad news for San Diego's potential hopes of getting another NFL franchise. We're going to have the latest from Carolina after this.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.